You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Many people become homeless after suffering trauma, like war veterans, victims of violence. Those are the people Guy McPherson tries to help. He's a trauma therapist from Oakland who spends many hours a day, all week, talking to people who've gone through life-changing accidents, marital abuse, war, some of life's hardest things to talk about. Hearing about pain and suffering over and over takes a toll. And Guy says many of his colleagues feel the same. They needed an outlet to be heard, so he started the Trauma Therapy Podcast. Guy McPherson came by our studios, and I asked him first what inspired him to become a trauma therapist.
My brother was a Navy SEAL who came back from Iraq with PTSD. This was several years ago. And when he came back, I was like, you know, so excited. What did you do? I want to hear the details. I want the gritty. And he was just like, you know, giving me kind of the hand, the open palm, you know, Guy, I just kind of don't want to talk about it, don't want to deal with it. And I kind of took that as a kind of being dismissed. I was like, what do you, this went on and on, and yet I bugged him and I nagged him. And it was only later when I started, and at that time I didn't know anything about PTSD. And it was only later when I first started learning about psychology that I was like, oh my God, I just blew it. And that really kind of inspired me to get into this field. And I was like, at that moment, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to help people in this type of situation. And I knew I could. And then I went back to school. I went back and got my undergrad and went back to my graduate school to get my PhD in psychology. And as, you know, I did internships and so forth, driving a lot, commuting. And I'm like, as I'm driving, I'm thinking all the time about my clients. What should I have done? What did I do? I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And then I was wishing I'd had like a master therapist right there beside me to mentor me, to guide me. And at the same time, I'm listening to all these podcasts of other people like yourself interviewing people who are doing amazing things with their lives. And I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe I can interview people too, you know? So that was it. So I like started the Trauma Therapist Project, and then I started the podcast, and I like out of the blue, started emailing people to see if they would do it. And one thing led to another. And, you know, it's really been amazing.
And so you reached out to this community of fellow trauma therapists, and you talk to them and you share ideas and you listen to them. What does that do for you? And what does that do for them? It seems like it's therapy for the therapists.
Yeah, in a sense it is. My goal really is to squeeze as much inspiration out of them as I can. Because it's so cool to talk to people again who've been in this field for so many years, and they seem to be the ones who can say, you know what? I didn't know what the heck I was doing, and I made this mistake, and I made that. They're not scared.
How does that make you feel then when you hear those?
It makes me feel like I'm not alone. It makes me feel excited. It makes me feel excited because, you know, talking about trauma is freaky. It's scary for a lot of us. And I was listening to, I remember interviewing one really seasoned guy, and he was like, you know what, if you're not affected or impacted by what your client is telling you, something's wrong. Okay, because this gets us at our core. Being impacted by trauma.
Because one assumption about a trauma therapist might be, you've heard so many horrible things over the years that you are now desensitized.
That's called burnout. That's called burnout. And you cannot be effective as a clinician. Because first and foremost, it's being able to be present, be with someone openly, honestly, and one of the really inspiring individuals I've had on the podcast, Peter Bernstein, who has a facility up here in Marin, he said, you know, you have to realize that you're no different from your clients. And that really stuck with me because, you know, when you get into this field, you get educated and, you know, you're a therapist and then you've got all these degrees and you wear this hat. But oftentimes that gets in the way of the simplicity of instilling hope, the simplicity of being able to metaphorically, in a sense, reach across and hold that person's hand, or even sometimes literally, depending on what types of interventions you practice, mm-hmm. but seemingly so simple, but yet very difficult because we're humans and we're impacted, and that affects or can affect how I'm going to interact with you if you're a client.
So what do you do when you go home? Do you try to forget it all, or is it still in your head?
You can't forget it. I mean, it's almost like you have to compartmentalize, because I know that there have been times when, I don't know, I'll be talking to my wife or we'll be watching something and something will come up that'll make me think about something. And I think to myself, okay, I could talk about X, but I don't. And I think that utilizing that kind of boundary, in a sense, is helpful. You have to. I remember one woman I interviewed, Linda Curran, who was amazing. She said that you have to. I remember I asked her about her, how she took care of herself, and she rattled off literally like 8 things she did regularly. And I was so impressed with that.
Do you remember some of them?
You know, walking, hiking, meditating, talking to friends, mm-hmm. you know, sitting down, but doing this consciously with an awareness. And I think that's also very important.
And what about you?
What about me?
Because it sounds like self-care is especially needed in your line of work.
It really is. For me, you know, it's exercising when I can. It's hiking when I can. It's hanging out with my family when all the time, really. Laying on the floor with my 7-month-old. Again, making the concerted effort to create a boundary, make that distinction. So, and that, I have to say, that's a work in progress, too. So,
at any point, do you feel like, I just can't take this anymore, I can't do this anymore?
Well, you know what? The part that I get to do is I get to, again, squeeze the inspiration out of these amazing clinicians and thought leaders and therapists. That, to me, is the great work. I mean, I have a full-time job in a clinic where I work, but being able to sit down and just get so inspired, that gets me going. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this, because there was a part of this field that I was like, wait a minute, I want to talk to other people who are going through this process, like be a connector, like be a joiner in a sense. So I'm getting to do that.